Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with the Professor, and the topic is going to be this week's headline, which, of course, the Indianapolis Combine. Combine, of course, goes from Wednesday till next week, and joining us to talk about it, Dan Shonka from Our Lads. And Dan, we go back a long time, and you actually predated the Indy Combine. Is that correct? Or did you get the first couple years?
Yes, just barely, John, but I remember those days. Just walking from the Union Station over to the Dome, and it was a short, crisp walk, getting in there. And hey, the only one that was there were the players and the scouts and the coaches and general managers and things. But it was pretty low key, and now it's a big national event.
It really is. And of course, that's what's so fascinating. And my first one was 1990. And, you know, there was like seven or eight of us that were there reporting. I was there for the Pittsburgh Press. And what I remember, of course, that was Cortez Kennedy's year and Junior Seau. And, well, it was so loose that we were actually in the hotel right by the elevator, trying to grab players. And of course, you know, we would see kind of the wild, wild west, because we'd see a couple scouts from different teams get into fights because they're trying to get a player to come visit the room so they get the interview. I mean, it was really a wild scene. And then finally, they started to make sure that the media didn't get to see much. And so they stuck us out in the lobby. They take the chairs away. They turn the heat down, hoping that we'd go away. And now, how well did that work? There's like 1,000 of us all there at this year's Combine.
Right, and you guys never went away, John.
Nope.
I remember seeing, I mean, you and Peter King were two that I remember seeing there and everything, because we would come through after the workout or, you know, come through the lobby there, and you guys were dutifully trying to grab any of the players and, you know, trying to get any comments on what was going on at the Combine and stuff like that. And but, yeah, it's a lot different. In fact, you probably remember the agents bringing in some girls sitting there in the lobby with their stacks of shoes and stuff too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And but all that got kicked by the wayside a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, it has grown and just changed so much through the years. And let's kind of go from the beginning of it to where it is now, because I think that's, you know, because, again, it's so open now, but I remember it was such a secret type of thing. You know, what I had to do, like everybody else, had to have one or two people on the inside that would go over by a payphone, you know, call us on another phone, so we would start to get the times. Now it's televised. You can, there's actually one person that has a chart that you can go on a Google Doc, and all the numbers start coming in as they run, and that is updated within like 5 minutes or so. It's amazing to see how different it was, what we couldn't get, and now what we can get.
Yeah, no question about it. In fact, I'll tell you, John, because I was with National Football Scouting at the start, when I started going to the Combine in 88, and I couldn't even get, like, you know, guys in my area, I wanted to see how they ran and how they did, but I couldn't even get guys in my own area. The only times that I had were the times, like, in my group. I had two different groups during the week. I always had defensive backs toward the end of the combine. In the first part, I'd have offensive linemen, and but I would never, I could never find out, because I'd go in the office and say, "Hey, Duke, how'd so-and-so run?" He goes, "I can't tell you that." I said, "What do you mean you can't tell me that?" You know what I mean? So I couldn't even get some of that information the first, you know, several years when I was with National, because it was under such lock and key. But then, and like you said, it's loosened up quite a bit since then. And now, John, one thing I will say that, you know, when I get to see the verified information after the combine's all over, you know, that the height, weight, arm length, and all that stuff is accurate, but it just kind of depends on, you know, some people want the electronic times, you know, on the 40. Other will take the average of the handheld time, and those two times can be, you know, distinctly different.
Oh, no question. First off, go back to why Indy became the place, because it had kind of branched out to a couple other different places, and then all of a sudden it settled in on Indianapolis.
Yeah, John, the thing was, like you said, it used to be held out at Arizona State. There was, in fact, there was like three different combines. You know, remember, there's like New Orleans had it, and then Arizona State had it, and they just had them kind of all over the country. And then I think that, you know, Jack Butler got together with Harry Buffington and the teams. Well, Harry was the head of National, and then Jack was head of Blesto. And then they got together with the independents and the rest of the team and said, hey, why don't we just have this in a central location? We bring guys in from all over the country, have it in the center part of the country, and make it a little easier. And then everybody can get the same information, and you pay a certain amount of money, each ball club. I forget what they pay, but and it's probably different now, but they all paid, you know, information. So they all get the same verified height, weight, speed, all that stuff. But then, like you were alluding to earlier about some of the scouts pushing each other, getting their interviews, that was going on there. And I will say this on a sidebar here. You know, we got the dance cards, so to speak, and I'd always get my guys first on the dance card. But, you know, I never stole anybody if they said, hey, I'm supposed to be at the Giants right now. And people hated the Giants because they'd always give the California app perception test. It was like 300 or 400 questions, you know, and they'd have them all day and all night, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But now it's a lot different. They blow a horn and you only got so many minutes with the guy and this and that. But I think the reason they went to Indianapolis is just because it's a good size airport that draws everybody. You can drive in from a lot of the big population centers if you have to, but then yet, you know, you could fly in there because it's a big international airport. You can fly in there from anywhere. So, and then there's a lot of hospitals close too, John, where you could take the guys getting their MRIs and all that business. And then all the hotels, the downtown area and things like that. It just kind of, the way it worked out, it was just really a perfect storm for the combine.
Do you have an adjustable rate mortgage that is about to increase? Or first and second mortgage that you would like to combine into one? Low mortgage payment? Hey, give Keel Mortgage a call today. They are local, friendly, and have been serving families up and down the West Coast for over 3 decades. With interest rates forecasted to rise, the best time to explore your options is now. It starts with a phone call to 1-888-778-KIEL or online at keelmortgage.com. That's Keel Mortgage, 888-778-KIEL. They can help. CL53969. Sounds to me like after like 2020, 2021, they're going to consider taking everything out to Los Angeles.
Well, there's been talk for years about moving it. But then, you know, when it comes down to brass tacks, they say, well, geez, you know, here's all this right now that, you know, everything is right here. Everything's organized. I mean, hey, John, I guess you weren't exactly privy to this, but I mean, when I was first going to combine in '88, there's guys setting down. I mean, they were sitting in the aisles waiting for their turn to go and visit the doctor. I mean, it was just like grade school. You know, the kids lining up in elementary school, you know, waiting in to go into class or recess. These guys, I mean, here's Deion Sanders and all these guys, you know, future Hall of Famers. Hey, they're just sitting in the hallway waiting their turn to go in. And one thing I will say, too, I had several Hall of Famers, great football players in my groups, in the defensive back, the offensive line group. And you know what, John? I never had one guy complain, whine, any of that stuff. They just waited their turn. And then it was really great because, you know, defensive backs are kind of high, they're not high motor, but they're just fast, twitchy guys. But you know what? They were relaxed, and they went through it, and it went fine.
Yeah. One of the things that's so interesting, because you mentioned Duke, and that was Duke Babb, who ran the combine, and he wasn't obviously a friend of the media. I mean, he tried to keep us out of everything. But the interesting part was, and I remember Kenny Herrock of the Atlanta Falcons and a couple other guys, they were always pushing to try to get the thing on television. And Duke obviously was resisting that. And so what ends up happening, you know, you get to the point where there was a slow track in Indy because they were over in the old dome, and the agents wouldn't even have their their guys run. And so you'd go each year with about 135 to 200, 150 guys that wouldn't do the workouts because their agents wouldn't let them. Now, just about everybody pretty much goes.
Yeah, well, they want to see themselves on national TV, and hey, they've been training for quite a while. And John, hey, if you can run, you're going to run. You know what I mean? That's simple as that. If the fast guys run, slow guys will have the pull or something like that. Hey, I still remember offensive linemen, they didn't care about any of that stuff. They'd go up there in their work boots if they had to just to get it over with, you know, and run down that line. Well, now, you know, even the linemen got their pretty shoes on and all that stuff trying to run as fast as they can down there. But you know what? When it comes down to it, John, on those linemen, you better have it on film because it doesn't matter what you run at Indy.
Exactly. How important is the information gathered in Indy in the big equation?
I think the big thing is, John, it's just, you know, you want to get that verified, especially now. The verified information is so important because there's 93 juniors coming in there that you really don't have any measurables on because half of them or three quarters of them were kind of surprise guys that come out. You knew, you know, some obviously there's some juniors that you project to come out every year anyway, but no, you got to get this verified information. And then also, the medicals are extremely important. That's the big thing. You got to get the medicals on all these guys. And then, you know, you don't get to really know the guy that well in 15 minutes, which is, you know, all you can talk to him now. But you get a chance, a feel for him. And if you saw him in All-Star games, that was other information. So the more information you can get and gather and have your different people, your different scouts, your general managers, your other people get a feel for these guys, and then you kind of get together after the combine and meet and then go over everything.
No doubt. Now, of course, you get everything because I know you just sent out the most latest draft update and that on Our Lads. Again, where's everybody get Our Lads and what all do you have? Because, again, you still do the great job keeping up on the depth charts of teams and, you know, getting the ratings and all that stuff. So as everybody kind of preps for this, how can they get the information?
Well, John, fans can just go to OurLads.com. And they can go ahead and play our mock draft challenge, for instance. They can put their own mock draft up there. They can get all our college depth charts, the pro depth charts. And we've got our mock draft up there, our top 32. And then we've got our stacks there like all the quarterbacks, how we got them rated before the combine right now, or all the guards, all the centers prior to the combine. And it will adjust a little bit according to, you know, the speed really on the wide receivers and the defensive backs, but a lot of good information at OurLads.com.
Yeah, and of course, let's get into some of the specifics of what this draft is going to be. Where would, in perspective, you put the quarterbacks in this draft compared to, say, other years?
John, I think, you know, it's not the quality. I mean, there's quantity of guys, but, you know, when you go over and really put them under the microscope, you know, they all got holes. We love Baker Mayfield, and I know, you know, he's 6 foot tall. Well, Drew Brees is 6 foot tall, and there's exceptions to every rule. You like to have guys like Mason Rudolph, you know, 6'5", 230, sitting back there in the pocket, looking at things. But I think Rudolph is probably an under-the-radar guy, believe it or not, as productive as he's been at Oklahoma State. But, you know, we like him a lot. We like Josh Rosen at quarterback after Mayfield, but we worry about his medical. You know, he's had a couple of those concussions, and he had a shoulder surgery a year ago. And, you know, you just worry about his durability, if he's going to be able to hold up. But he's very accurate. He's a very smart guy. We worry a lot about Sam Darnold. He's very awkward the way he throws the ball, makes bad decisions, turns the ball over on a regular basis. But there's tools there, you know, but, you know, are you going to take him first? You take a Josh Rosen who might last, you know, one preseason game and be out for his career because of the concussion, you know? And then you got Josh Allen who is all over the place. I mean, one minute he can look like, big time quarterback, Brett Favre throwing darts down the field. The next minute, you have no idea what he's going to do and turn the ball over, throw into coverage. And, you know, so, I mean, his inconsistencies are super scary. We think he's got a problem reading defenses. And the reason I say that is because he alluded to as much at the Senior Bowl when he said, oh, yeah, it was easy when I knew that there was, cover one out there, or there's in cover two, and that's all they could play. He said, problems you get is when they start mixing all that stuff up. Well, you're going to see that every play in the NFL. So, but anyway, so I think that, you know, and then Lamar Jackson, here's a guy that is a developmental quarterback, I think. And then, hey, he's that fallback. He can always go to receiver if he can't play quarterback, but he's shown some things that, you know, he's got a chance, but, you know, he's made his bones at Louisville with his legs.
Okay, the it's been said that this might be one of the best running back classes in a lot of years. Is that true? And then who are some of the top backs?
Yeah, John, I tell you what, I'd have to agree with that. We absolutely love, since last summer, Saquon Barkley. I mean, he's just a tremendous running back. That's the total package of, he catches that ball on the slot. He's a matchup nightmare. I mean, can you imagine smaller corners trying to, you know, tackle a 5'11", 230-pound back that runs 4.3 in the open field? Darius Geis from LSU, he's up there. He's more of a little bit of an on-track runner, but he could shake you in the open field, and he's run with a lot of power and runs angry. Rashad Penny, he's not getting as much play from San Diego State as others, but he's a very productive guy. I think he's going to be a real solid back. Somebody's going to end up snagging and get a good value on him. Nick Chubb from Georgia, along with Sony Michel. I mean, he's a outstanding running back. Ronald Jones from Southern Cal. Kerryon Johnson from Auburn. Royce Freeman from up your neck of the woods at Oregon is a big man that can really run with it. You know, Josh Adams is a slasher from Notre Dame, and Bo Scarborough, who looked like a man amongst boys at times at Alabama. So, I mean, you can go right on down the line, John, and this is really loaded.
All right, so now, Dan, what positions are weak? Which ones, if you have needs, that you may have some trouble getting some help?
John, and this is a bad one because all the everybody in the NFL needs them, but tackles is really a weak area this year. There's a few guys with length and things, but by golly, there's just an area that is just really thin, and I think that that's probably the weak, because I, the interior guys, I like the centers, the guards are really strong, but boy, those tackles are not very good this year.
Yeah, that's sad, because I mean, so many teams have problems along the offensive line that where they can be hurt. How is it for pass rush?
Well, it depends on the scheme. Now there is not a plethora of big time pass rushers. Obviously, Brandon Chubb from NC State is a big time guy that with the size and the power. And now in the 3-4, there's a few more guys out there that we can see do some damage rushing the passer if you're in a 3-4 scheme where you can move these guys around a little bit. I think there's some potential there, but you know, there's just the funny thing is it's unfortunately a little light, but guys like Harold Landry from Boston College, you know, he's gonna have to be a 3-4 outside guy, but he's got some ability. Lorenzo Carter from Georgia is another one, and then up at Washington State, now he's strictly a projection because he did a lot of work inside, but Hercules Manafa'a is a high motor, great effort guy. He probably won't be able to drop into coverage, but as a 3-4 outside pass rusher, he doesn't have the ideal length, but he's got the ideal want to get there. So, but Josh Sweat from Florida State is another guy that, you know, he's around 250 pounds and can bring the heat. Double O from Oklahoma, Ogbonna Okorocomo, that guy, he's really a good one, John. So, there's just guys. Christian Sam out of Arizona State flashes some. Tomoka Ture. But all those guys are basically 3-4 guys and not 4-3 pass rushers.
It's going to be fascinating, and seeing the combine starting this week, going all the way through next week. And again, anybody, you got to get our lads. So one more chance to get loaded up on our lads.
Yeah, John, to tell you, the fans can go to ourlads.com and order the draft package there, including our guide and everything. And then, you know, they can go there, play the mock draft challenge. That's free for anybody. They can win $500. So they can go and have a good time there and do their own mock draft on our site. And we have our stacks by position there that you can see the quarterbacks the way we like them prior to the combine. We've got our top 32 right now, and we got a mock 32, the first round mock draft up there that we put up the other day. So there's a lot of good things to do at our lives. Check the college depth charts. We got color coded the way we got them graded right now. They're color coded, and also of course your NFL depth charts with are been updated with all the guys up to 90 right now. That's prior to draft time. With all the futures been added and things on there, and the free agents are coded in red. So there's a lot of things to do. If you're a football fan, there's a lot to do at our labs.
That's great. Hey, Dan, thank you so much, and enjoy this, and I'm sure we'll be talking it before we get to the draft.
Absolutely, John. It's always great being with you, and hey, enjoy the combine, because that's our time of year, partner.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.